Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
When I was getting divorced, I had to essentially produce the artistic way for me to get through it. Because I feel like even though I went on to study theater as my job, right, I always use it as a therapeutic tool. Like, that's what makes me happy. That's what fulfills me, as is filtering anything I'm going through movement or through acting or through comedy. And so it was just natural when I was getting divorced to put down on paper or on the microphone what was going on in my life.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is the divorce diaries, finding the humor in divorce. Is there such a thing?
Yes.
With comedian Michelle Traina. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So today we do have something fun for you, a little out of our norm from our typical divorce topics. And we're chatting with comedian Michelle Traina. I want to tell you a little bit about her. She is a divorced single mom herself, and she's taken her experience of separation, divorce, co-parenting, and dating after divorce, and she's found the humor in it all. She's the creator of Divorce Diaries comedy show, and she travels the country, including New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, Naples, some of our favorite cities, and with her unique perspective on laughing through the pain. She's also created her own podcast based on the same theme called the Divorce Diaries Show Podcast. And Rebecca and I were both recently guests on her show, and we discovered for ourselves that Michelle has a very unique approach to laughing about divorce, and she's here to share it all with you today. So thank you and welcome, Michelle.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me, Susan and Rebecca. It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much. For me as well, I'm super excited to have you because we actually got acquainted with you when we were getting ready to do By Divorce, which was our big event that we did in Los Angeles. And we were hoping actually to get you to do a little bit of your show, but unfortunately it didn't work out schedule-wise. But we are definitely looking forward to having you at a future By Divorce event. And thanks for having both of us on your show. It was really a lot of fun, and I encourage all of our listeners to go back and find the episodes and check them out because they were really funny and a lot of fun. So, and they're all, same name, Divorce Diaries. So it's really cool how you were able to take such an emotionally difficult time. You know, we often say it's one of the most traumatic times of people's lives. And you've been able to take that traumatic time and actually find the lighter side, find humor, you know, figure out how to put levity into a horrible thing. So tell us about your own personal journey and how you got here.
So I always have been an actor, a dancer. I did musical theater in high school. I pursued it in college. I was a theater major. I went on to do tours when I graduated. And I always did comedy in New York. I lived very close to New York City. So I would do improv. I would do musical theater, and I would also do improvisation at Upright Citizens Brigade. And when I met my ex-husband, I stopped performing full time and I went in to get my master's in education. It's not that he told me I have to stop performing, but I felt like a pull and I felt like I needed to change a lot about myself, which was silly and ridiculous, but I never stopped performing. I had to like maneuver myself in this different light with this person, because I felt like he was uncomfortable with it. And I was doing comedy back then, but then I stopped to pursue the second career in education, in teaching theater to young people. And I never stopped. The comedic aspects of who I was as a teacher and a performer always hung on. And I wrote a one-woman show called How to Be a Successful Teacher that was on and off Broadway, like United Solo Festival in New York, like 6 years ago. And so when I was getting divorced, I had to essentially produce the artistic way for me to get through it. Because I feel like even though I went on to study theater as my job, right, I always use it as a therapeutic tool. Like that's what makes me happy. That's what fulfills me, as is filtering anything I'm going through movement or through acting or through comedy. And so it was just natural when I was getting divorced to put down on paper or on the microphone what was going on in my life. And so it started.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that makes your humor so accessible for people, because what you've done in creating the Divorce Diaries show and what Rebecca and I experienced when we were guests on your show is you've kind of taken the experience of the divorce process. And now as you've moved past that, the co-parenting with your ex and notably the dating after divorce, and you've found the humor in that. You've taken your reality. My mom always said that comedy is really just exaggerated reality, and you've perfected that in taking these aspects of your life. One of the things that I noticed when I was reading your background is that you really just found, the divorce sort of gave you a time to pivot, a time of transformation. You know, how do you think the divorce shaped your goals and career path as you find yourself today?
Oh, it just led me back to the path I was always supposed to be on. As simple as that. I think there's a musical called, I think it's If Then, and it's about how she gets divorced, two different things happen, and no matter what happens, she leads. Both two major things happen. She ends up with the love of her life and she fulfills her career. But she takes two different paths in both versions. Both paths never strayed her from two things that were meant to be. So I felt like my divorce brought me to the place I needed to be. I think, you know, I didn't get married to get divorced, but I also didn't realize at the time this was not the right relationship for me to last and have longevity and give me what I need. And it made me change who I was. I did it. I can't blame him for it. I did it to satisfy somebody else. And the divorce was about me finding myself again and being back to the Michelle that I always was, you know?
That's awesome. That's what we often say is like, you know, your divorce ends up being the best thing that ever happened to you. Not that you would like wish it on anybody, but you know, out of the losses come lessons, and we become better. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I was wondering if you'd be willing to do a couple pieces of your show or just a couple of things.
I was already preparing mentally for it. I live. Yes. What part do you so? Well, my show live is stand up, and I also do characters. So, do you guys want to hear from one of the characters?
You want to share.
Yeah.
So, one of my favorite parts is Michelle does her exes, and I do exes, and I kind of exaggerate them. But luckily for me, the men that I date just give me raw material that I don't really need to manipulate a lot, because you just can't make some of the stuff up. Would you guys like to meet? There's a recent guy, actually. I don't think I've put him in the show yet, but would you like to meet him?
Absolutely.
So we call him the Greek. Hi, everybody. I'm, I don't want to say my name because I'm a developer. and I develop stuff, you know. I'm Greek, just so you know. I'm Greek, and I own a bagel store, not a diner, just so you're not confused, okay? I don't own a diner. Most Greeks own diners here in Jersey. I own a bagel shop. And I'm 44. I've never been married. My parents got divorced. I hope Michelle doesn't put this in her show, but I'm an only child too. And people think I have a problem with commitment, you know, because I'm Greek. I'm originally Spartan, you know. That means I'm tough. You know, if I cut my finger at work, I don't need to get stitches. I'm just going to deal with it. Even if that means that blood gets on bagels, you know, like I'm just tough. So my ex, I think she was schizophrenic though, because she like threw a water bottle at me because she said I was like thinking of myself when I told her, you know, I can't talk to you for a couple of days. I mean, I can't, sometimes I just need to be left alone. She's like, well, we've been dating for 3 years. You shouldn't do that. Well, I was like, maybe you should figure it out. You know, I mean, this women really needs to get over things quickly. You know, they need to let it go. Hope Michelle's somebody who lets things go.
I'm just thinking about this and thinking if any guys that you might be dating are listening to this, you might find getting dates a little more difficult.
That's actually been a part of this journey, is that I have had men say, hey, you're not putting this in your show. They're actually the guy that I dated, who's the cop. I don't know if you guys, I don't think I brought him on. He knows.
No, I got to meet Coach.
Yeah, I met Coach too.
Coach doesn't know I do him, but he knows my show.
He does now.
No. You know why he doesn't know I do him? Because we've ended communication and I've blocked him.
Okay.
Well, the fact was he's not divorced, and that was a huge major lie and issue. And I was like, well, I'm putting him on blast now. Not because like I want to see him suffer. He doesn't even know him. He's not paying attention. And you know what? Even if he was, he knows what I do for a living and that people in my life are part of the story. So it is an issue for some people. And if they can't accept this is my life, then they're not going to be in my life. But definitely something I've been, you know, this guy, he doesn't know I'm doing him, but like I'm doing him. He has said some interesting things to me that you just can't make up. So.
Was it a first date where he told you about his schizophrenic ex?
Yes.
Sounds like great, great first date chat.
And you know, it's.
And you went, I think I need to run like hell.
I mean, Rebecca, I was like thinking about what you said about men when you were on Divorce Diaries, compartmentalizing and narcissists. I mean, the narcissists that have entered my life are just scary.
Yeah, that's because you're talking about them all the time. They're in, like, such a thing in your show, like you're keeping them in your space.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to compartmentalize a little more around the narcissists.
I go, universe, just because I'm joking about them doesn't mean I want to date them.
Yeah. Start joking about like very stable, emotionally mature, well-adjusted men.
And I can't. Oh my God. Yes. And please don't bring up your mother. Yeah. Like I love my mom and I'm a mother, but like men with their moms, like the one that it's like, that's my mom. And like, nobody comes in front of my mom. I'm like, yeah, but you're putting her in the same category as me. And it's weird. Like, I don't want you to be my dad. Yeah.
Well, you know, here's a funny story. My husband and I were at a pizza place one night. Like there's this organic pizza place over here that has like, you know, gluten-free, whatever.
Right. Los Angeles pizza.
Yeah. So we were sitting next to this guy that was very obviously on a first date. And he was like the whole time talking about his mother and how he lives with his mother. And it's like, you know, and we could hear it. Well, like, oddly, or funny enough, my husband and I decided to start taking some dance lessons. This guy ends up in our class,
and
he's telling everybody that he's taking dance lessons because he's having a hard time getting dates. And I'm like, oh, well, I know why, because you're talking about your mom the whole time. But of course, I couldn't say that.
Yeah. There's red flags that go up. And then I used to like, oh, it's okay. It'll work. No, this was when this guy, I'm starting to be like, red flag, Michelle, back away. We went on two dates and I'm like, no, not interested. I don't know. And then I was like, maybe I should give him a shot. But like, he's this guy has kept saying stuff where he calls his exes, or he talks about his exes in a reference where he's inadvertently putting them down. Like I have to listen to the way he's speaking about them. And the schizophrenic thing is, yeah, that's a blatant put down, but he's very macho, masochistic. Is that it? Is that the right word?
Can be.
Or he's just very, like, his ego is built up. He's a Greek god. He thinks he's a Greek god, but
not in your book. Greek gods don't tend to live with their mothers. I don't know.
He doesn't live with his mom, but you can tell he's very mommy boy. Like he's sworn off his father because his father up and left one Christmas day. They're divorced, and like his father now works for him in the back of the kitchen of the bagel shop. It's just so weird. And I'm like, why am I?
Yeah, maybe it's time to get back to the dating pool again. Let that one float away. Well, how do you?
Although they're good for material, apparently.
Yeah, like a little Band-Aid that's in the water that you don't want to go near.
You start splashing it toward the filter, right? Yeah. He might be ready to splash toward the filter or scoop up in the little net. On to the next. We're going to take a quick break now to tell you about our new sponsor. We're really excited to be pairing with BetterHelp Online Counseling.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you.
You know, much like Breaking Free Mediation lets you work with your mediator online, BetterHelp Online Counseling also allows you to connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's really convenient.
You can connect via phone or video, chat, text, in any areas like depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, grief. Anything you share is confidential, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours.
And best of all, it's truly an affordable option. Our listeners get a 10% discount off their first month with discount code BREAKINGFREE.
So why not get started today? Just go to BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
Are you struggling with how to manage and handle a high conflict personality? Do you feel like everything you do is futile or that your words are constantly being twisted? Breaking Free Mediation and Coaching is now offering a brand new coaching program called Coaching Through Conflict, how to successfully manage high conflict personalities. If you're dealing with a narcissist, a bipolar personality, or someone who's just simply overly difficult, this program is an absolute must. If you are ready to finally break free of this cycle of abuse and conflict, email us at bfmediation@gmail.com so that you can get started today. That's B as in boy, F as in Frank, mediation@gmail.com.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on The Divorce Diaries. Finding the humor in divorce with comedian Michelle Drain.
But I was in such pain, I was like, I gotta put this out on stage. And it helped me. And honestly, the Michelle Does Her Exes part of the show really does still help me. And I feel like it would help a lot of people to get out. Because so many women I meet, they're like, I gotta tell you this. Oh, I should tell you this story. You have so much material. I'm like, you should be the man and play him on stage.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including the unstoppable power of letting go with TEDx speaker and author Jill Shearer Murray.
I had to let go of this man, but I also knew that I also had to let go of my entire life around him.
And now we return to today's show.
How do you meet them? How do you find,
That's a great question, because someone asked my girlfriend, I had her over. She's a single mom, and she and I both kind of have similar situations. We were performers, teachers, and we had a barbecue with our kids. Kids are the same age. And she says, well, how are you meeting these guys? did you go on the apps or anything? I said, no, I haven't gone on the apps because the situation, first of all, I feel like it's homework and I get anxiety looking at these pictures, the messaging, the instant, and there's so much going on with my career, with the show, that I don't even have time for that. And I'm happy about that. But I know it's an avenue for people to meet. Like, I get it. So I met the people that I've been with. Majority has been through work. Like, I work for as a teacher, or even performance-wise, I've met them through that. And this guy, I live around the block from the bagel store, so we just connected that way. And we kept flirting, and I thought he was like a dork. And I was like, hey, he's like a geeky big guy. Like, I usually love big Latin guys, and like, he's great. So he's not Latin, but he was like thick and big. And I was like, oh, I'm attracted to him. And we would be flirty and cute. And I thought, he was like, this guy's a nice guy. But when we went on that first date, I was like, oh, I think he is very into himself, actually. But yeah. I met him by my house, and the other guys, one was at work. And one was the cop I met through a mutual friend. We both teach together. They were like, oh, my friend's army, but her husband's army buddy. He's also a cop. He's a great guy. He's such a good guy. He was the trigger that got me into stand up because I broke up with him and I was so upset. First real relationship, I guess you'd say, from divorce. And I thought I was in love with him. I said, I got to do this stuff on stage. Again, like, I used to do improv, and I was like, let me try stand-up. I haven't done it. I always wanted to, and I did the stand-up. I took a stand-up class at Caroline's, and from then on, I started. I changed my show, Divorce Diaries. It was originally, like, this dramatic one-woman theater piece, and I turned it into a comedic one-woman theater piece. It used to have some other comics on the show, but then I changed it again because I was like, you know, ultimately, I see this as a series and a brand, and it's based off of my stories that can connect with other divorce pieces, but that my story is a central piece. And Mike, he watches the show, he follows the show, he loves it. He's a cop. He loves what I do him. He thinks it's funny. So I was like, well, that's good. So he's not offended by it at all. So
all right, let's hear some of him.
Yeah, bring us Mike.
I need vodka, though. Michelle don't have no vodka in her house. What's up? You ladies are beautiful. Michelle, listen, Michelle calls me her boyfriend, but like, I never really thought she was my girlfriend. You know, we were just chilling, you know, like chilling, just talking, just having a good time. You know, she really didn't like the fact that I didn't like to communicate. Like, I got stuff going on, you know, like work. I'm a cop. Jersey City, what's up? I'm a former veteran. I was in the Army, Afghanistan, 2004. Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha! That's right. That's something. Yeah, I have my dog is my love, though. Like, she doesn't understand the love I have with my dog. When he died, she got really upset because her name was Callie. I have another dog now, too, because Michelle and I started dating and she wanted me to spend more time with her and not the new dog. But like, my dog is everything, you know? You guys get me? What you guys doing later?
So you got dumped for the dog?
Oh, you know what? I got dumped. We broke up because he kept canceling on me or making me wait. And I went off on him one day. We were supposed to go on his motorcycle. And he showed up late and I went off on him. He's like, I don't think I can give you what you need. We should stop talking. And I started crying. This breakup took 2 hours long because of me. It was bad. I was so hurt. And we stayed in touch, but it got fiery for a while. Like, we didn't talk for a year. I kind of said some nasty things to him. You'll have to watch.
As she says with a smile.
Smile. I was just thinking, we had one of our top-rated shows is how to have the difficult conversations around divorce and breaking up and separation, and that's been rising up the charts very quickly because there's no easy. Well, there she has some great tips in that show, so I encourage people to go listen to it if they have to have that conversation. But it can have long-lasting repercussions, as you're saying.
But one of the things she said in the show was plan to spend 3 to 4 hours having a conversation. And I remember thinking all of our listeners are going, what? Three to 4 hours?
And she said time, location, and sobriety were the most important things. Be sober if you're going to break up with somebody.
He was not sober ever.
No, he liked his vodka.
I was
beer was water to him. That was the other issue. I was like, some bad stuff happened.
Tamsin Fidel, a show that we had recently, she said that we tend to turn the red flags pink.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And they're pretty.
Bad. Maybe it's not so bad.
No, I turn it into like the Puerto Rican flag. I'm like, yes, I'm all about you. Because I'm a lot of Puerto Rican.
You like those Latin men, yeah.
I love it. And he's Puerto Rican, so that's what I would do in my head. Like, oh, we're going to have Puerto Rican Italian babies together. We're going to live long, you know. He was not for me, and so not for me, but like, and the stuff that would come out of his mouth, I'd say, is this guy making this up? Like, and that's why I it was so funny. I couldn't not use it, but I was in such pain. I was like, I gotta put this out on stage, and it helped me. And honestly, the Michelle Does Her Exes part of the show really does still help me. And I feel like it would help a lot of people to get out. Because so many women I meet, they're like, I got to tell you this. Oh, and I should tell you this story. You have so much material. I'm like, you should be the man and play him on stage. Or even for men, the woman. Like, because some of the stuff I've heard from some guys, too. I mean, we're not perfect, but we're a little more perfect than them. But I got to support women because we sell ourselves short. Like, I sell myself short. And it's a big theme I'm seeing with many women. Are we selling ourselves short? With these sacks, you know, accepting mediocrity and.
Hey, one of my favorite little Facebook memes was at first, it's a man and a woman, you know, like those old fashioned ones, like some e-cards or whatever it was, you know, those.
Yeah.
And it says, the woman speaking to the man, and it says, if at first you don't succeed, then maybe you should do it the way I told you to in the first place.
Right, exactly. And like that. I did a joke last night. I tried a joke on stage about, you know, oh, I'm always in the wrong. Yes, that's my point. Just start listening to me and we won't have a problem. You are
exactly.
Always in the wrong.
Yeah. Now you're finally right.
Yes. Get it. Yes, you're seeing the light.
There's something in what you just said, though, that I think is really valuable maybe to our listeners, is that by getting up on stage and putting your pain, you use the word pain, putting it out there, it helped you. And maybe, you know, listeners are not going to go and do improv, although maybe they should. You know, there's something very valuable in that as opposed to holding all that pain in, getting it out in some creative way, writing or, you know, singing or whatever it might be, just to get that pain out.
In a way that's positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as a teacher too, this is where my role as an artist and teacher combined, where I've seen where kids, I do this with kids who are going through problems in school with their peers or in relationships. And you can start to role play there's certain games and specific strategies you can use actually to heal in a safe space where it may not be in stage in front of an audience, but if, you know, someone's having difficulty processing it and you're working up and you're sad and how do I get this out? How do I motivate myself? And what do I want to say to this person if they were in front of me, if I had the chance? Some people don't even have the chance to speak to their ex and they need to still have closure and they can't. Even if they have closure, I'm the type of person that still kind of keeps going. Like I close out and then I feel like I still have more in my head. And I use that with the stage and my show, but
you're doing it in a positive way rather than just telling the story over and over again about what a victim you are. And, you know, like that's what people do. They get stuck in this cycle of negative energy.
Absolutely. I think I also kind of have to, I make fun of myself a lot because I'm like, oh, Jesus, Michelle, listening to the same story again. And, you know, what is it about me that people can relate to and laugh about that I'm okay and I'm accepting and loving of myself to make fun of it? You know, like, I don't let things go and I'm not a patient person and I do have a temper, and those are things you shouldn't have, right? Like, you have to work on, but I put it on blast on stage because people can relate to that and they like to have those, you know, like.
Yeah. Breaking the shoulds, right? Like, wiping out the shoulds. You shouldn't be, you know, we all have those in our head of what we should be or should do.
Yeah. So the Greek guy asked me, he's like, are you impatient? I started laughing. I was like, have you met women?
Now.
So I want to ask you a question that you asked me. I'm going to turn the table. So you asked me what my ex-husband, what if he were a drink, what would I call him? So what if your ex-husband were a drink, what would you call him?
Well, I usually say Jaeger bomb because it tastes gross and he bombs at everything. No, but he doesn't actually buy a Jaeger bomb or like a Midori sour. He's just always negative. Like, he's just not a happy person. So I'm not in a good frame of mind with him right now either. Because,
Well, that's it. You talk in your show about trying to co-parent as well, which, as all of our listeners know, can be a real challenge, and you find some way to find humor in that. But, you know, how has the co-parenting experience made its way into your show?
So I work it in because I get so angry about certain things I can't control. I try to filter it out that way, and it does help. But I have had issues this past week with where he's not in a participatory role emotionally. And it frustrates me because, it's frustrating. So it's emotionally for like what's going on with my daughter and her, she goes to occupational therapy and all this other stuff. And it's kind of just to help her in her learning process. Right. And every kid, you know, maneuvers through the world differently. And I have things for her to help her maneuver so that she can have school and outside activities in a successful way. And he doesn't know anything about it. Like, he doesn't pay attention to it, and it frustrates me. And I thought about this, the podcast today, and I thought about what I wanted to send an angry text this morning, because I texted a bunch of information like yesterday, had nothing to do with you need money or anything. It was all stuff that we were going to talk about this weekend and the conversation never happened. So I texted it. Didn't hear anything back. And this morning I was like, I want to send him this really angry text. And I was like, what is that going to do? Like, take a breath and wait and see what you can conjure up that's really short and concise and gets the whole point of me. Why am I doing this? You know, what am I trying to get out of this? That's kind of what I'm using as the co-parenting tool with him. It's like, what do I want to
Makes
get out
think
of this?
We on some of our other shows, we've talked about brief, informative, friendly, but firm. That's how you respond.
Bill Eddy.
Yes, there's two shows. Encourage you to listen to them. They will help you in dealing with your ex, in communicating. I mean, that's really, you can't control them. All you can do is control yourself.
Right.
So, exactly.
We are just about out of time. It went so fast. I knew it would because of, you know, the humor aspect of things. But we want to make sure that our listeners get to hear where they can find you, Divorce Diaries, how they can come see your shows.
Yes. So I have my Instagram is the biggest, I think, followers. I have a Divorce Diaries show, plural, IES on the diaries. My YouTube channel is Divorce Diaries Show, Divorce Diaries Show on Facebook. And then my website, divorcediarieshow.wordpress.com. Yes, I'm buying the domain so I can stop saying wordpress.com. but Divorce Diaries Show, you can also just Google it and you can find everything there. But go to Instagram, go to the YouTube channel, and my podcast is also there on the website. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the upcoming shows, there's a big upcoming show in Funnybone, Albany. You guys know Gabrielle Hartley, right?
Yes.
She's going to be at the show with her book.
Wonderful.
So it'll be fun. Yeah.
Well, you have to tell me when you're going to be at Zany's again. It's right down the street from my house.
So. We're going to try. And yes, I cannot wait to be at Zany's again.
You just let me know. We will be there in the front row.
Yeah, you're going to be in Vegas too pretty soon. You said.
That's a big show. I'm so glad you just mentioned that. At the Space in Las Vegas. So you can get tickets at thespace.org, I believe it is. Or just, again, Google The Space Las Vegas and you type in Divorce Diaries. August 22nd at 8 p.m. It's a Thursday night. My thing with like the Vegas is don't get hitched, get ditched.
That's fabulous. I love it.
So what a
perfect, perfect way to end. Thanks so much for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.